Matthew chapter 5 contains a portion of Jesus teaching what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up, it says, into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And then Matthew records what Jesus said. We have, brethren, we have the great privilege and blessing of reading the words, a transcript of a sermon, the words of the very Son of God, God in the flesh. Now, you read a lot, and I read a lot. But brethren, there's nothing better, and there's no greater authority than the words of God Himself, is there? What a blessing to read that. And all Scripture is inspired of God. This certainly was. This was God Himself speaking. And it's profitable to us, the children of God, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteous living. Thank the Lord for that, that we have it. I'm reading through the Psalms, and yesterday I read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's that, brethren. It's the Word of God is that. You and I can read what we want and search all over the place, but you'll never find a better light for your path, a lamp for your feet, a light for your path, than the Word of God. Let's read it now together. What I want to read, brethren, is verse 13 of chapter 5. One verse, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 13. The words of our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, as He lived here upon the earth and ministered. He sat down and the followers of Him came to Him, and He said to them, as recorded in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." If I read that correctly, brethren, those are the words of Jesus. It's the King James translation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I want to concentrate, brethren, on that first phrase. Ye are the salt of the earth. Let's pray, brethren. Pray, you pray as I pray, that God will open His Word to you and to me. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of Jesus Christ that we're able to read at this very moment, 2,000 years after He's spoken. Just as important, just as relevant, just as true as when they were spoken audibly by the Lord Jesus to His followers, His disciples. Just as appropriate in this moment, so many years later, just as true. Thank you, Father, that your truth endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you for being merciful and kind to us, to bless us together in this place today, the house of prayer. Thank you for making us want to be here, seeing it's our responsibility and it's our privilege to be in the house of God, presenting our bodies, living sacrifices, which you tell us is our reasonable service. Oh Lord, may we serve you in this hour. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. I need you, Lord. If I'm to understand your word, if I'm to do my job today, if I'm to present the Word of God to these dear people, oh God, direct my words and my thoughts, please. Lord God, let me and everyone here hear the Word of the Lord. The verse tells us, you tell us in your Scripture, oh earth, earth, hear the Word of the Lord. Give us hearing ears. You've given us your Spirit implanted upon us. You've regenerated us. You've rebirthed us. Now, Lord, in this time we study together, Father, open our ears, our hearts to understand your word. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Bless
your ministers as they stand before your people in this very hour. So many stand right now in so many places to try to proclaim the word of God. Father, give us all boldness. Give us direction. Give us unction from on high. And let the people hear, all of us, the one that stands and preaches, the ones that sit in the pews. Lord God, may we hear you. And may you be glorified and honored by it. And may we be edified by it. Strength for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful statement, brethren, the Lord Jesus here makes to his disciples. Let me just look, brethren, look with me at chapter 4, verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25, for some context here. It says, "And there followed him great multitudes." That's him, there is Jesus. "Great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea," that's the province, "and from beyond Jordan." Galilee of the Gentiles, I say that. The Word of God says Galilee. Jesus is going about teaching, preaching. You can read that in verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He became famous. His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people. And I read that. Now verse 1 of chapter 5. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying." Brethren, multitudes followed Jesus. I want to say to you that I think that if I were living in the day of Jesus, and I had been diagnosed with some terrible disease, and his fame went out to my ears, and I knew that he could do certain things, I'd follow him. I may or may not follow him because of his teaching, but I'd probably follow him, hoping to get a grasp of his garment, like that woman did on that road that day. She was desperately ill and spent all her living on doctors, and yet was still suffering. Maybe, I think it says, worse than before. What I want to say to you is, multitudes followed him. Some followed him because of his doctrine and his teaching, because they knew that he was the Son of God, and they were in love with him, and they wanted to be near him. It says here, brethren, he saw the multitude. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. I don't think that the multitude came up into the mountain to hear his teachings. You may disagree, and I may be wrong in that, but I just want to raise that point to you. But what I want you to get is, brethren, is his disciples came to him. The ones that believed him and knew who he was and loved him for his doctrine, brethren. Do you love Jesus today, brethren, for what he can do for you? Or do you love him for what he's done for you? And he saved you by his offering on the cross. He offered himself without spot to God. Do you love him for that? Oh, brethren, he saved me in so many ways, and I love him for that. And I do love him for what he does for me and what he can do for me. But above that, brethren, I love him that he saved my soul from hell. He saved me. He offered himself without spot to God for me. And I love him for that. And I just want to point out to you, brethren, it's the disciples. It doesn't say the multitude came up there. They may have. But I know this, the disciples came. And I want to ask you this morning, brethren, do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple. A disciple is somebody that follows the teacher, loves his doctrine, and follows him, and tries to apply it in their own life. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, it says in verse 2. He taught them, saying. And verses 3 through 12 are what we call the Beatitudes. It's the attitude that you need to be, in that attitude. The meek, peacemakers, and so on. And we don't want to study them right now, but that's the Beatitudes. But he continues on teaching in verse 13. After he tells them that blessed condition that you are if you're in a certain, if you got a certain mindset, then he says, he begins, brethren, it's recorded in verse 13, he says this, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt. Salt of the earth. Salt is good. Jesus says in Mark 9:50, salt is good. He says it very plainly. I say to you, salt is good. You say to me, Brother Mike, you're right. Salt is good. It's good, isn't it? Have you ever taken a big spoonful of grits and found immediately that they had no salt in them? That'll make you say salt is good, won't it? Salt is good. Since I had my heart attack, I'm cutting back on salt, kicking and screaming. Jan's doing it for me and helping me, but I must confess sometimes if she's not with me, I add a little salt. She's giving me the eye right now here. But she is helping me, brethren. Salt. Salt. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant for me to be cutting back on salt. It's not pleasant to my person, to my body. But Jesus, brethren, says, ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus is not speaking specifically in the context here of table salt. He's not talking about it, brethren. But he's talking about, he's using salt to illustrate the good effect that disciples of Jesus have, can have, and should have on the earth. And that earth means the occupants of the earth, the people of the earth, the people who live on the earth. He's illustrating here. Ye are the salt of the earth. He's talking to his disciples. Ye are the salt of the earth. Seven words. Let me take each word and just comment about each one. You. That ye means you. That's just the King James kind of archaic language. But he's saying you are. Who is the you there? The disciples of Jesus, brethren, are the salt of the earth. That's who he's talking about there. One who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrine of another. That's a definition of a disciple. One who accepts the teaching and assists in spreading it. Spreading the doctrine of Jesus. Well, what's Jesus' doctrine? What is it? Well, it's His words. It's His teaching. It's the fact that He is the Son of God in the flesh. That God has come to earth. And that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Those who were lost in the fall. The ones who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. All Jesus' doctrine. Do you believe that doctrine, brethren? Do you accept it? Do you receive it? And do you dispense it, brethren? You, those who accept it, those who spread it, those who spread Christ's doctrine. You and me, brethren. You are. I looked up the word are in the dictionary. Look it up if you haven't lately. It's a language about parts of speech and present, perfect, something other. And it's been a long, long time since I studied English and grammar. But I know this, brethren, are are is, if I say you are something, then you're in a present state. I'm describing a present state or a present characteristic of you. You are. You presently have a certain characteristic. You have a certain grace about you if you are the salt of the earth. You are. Present tense. A description of what you are. The next word, salt. You have a certain quality given to you. It's in you. You have a tasteful effect in your life, in your words, in your actions. Tasteful, savory, pleasant. You are the salt. You're the salt of the earth. The occupants of the earth. You, brethren, if you're a disciple of Christ, you make bland things palatable. I eat grits from time to time, but Jen and I mostly eat rice. You ever tried rice without salt? Rice, potatoes, peas. We bought us some peas this year, and some people gave us some peas, and we blanched them and got them in the freezer, and we have been enjoying them. But boy, howdy, they are different with no salt on them. They are different. I used to put a big old chunk of ham or ham hocks in the pot and boil the peas and made sure there was some grease in there and lots of salt. But now, no meat and just a little bit of salt or salt substitute, brethren. But salt, brethren, makes bland things palatable, makes bad things better. There's something in you, brethren, you as a disciple of Jesus, that's beneficial to the earth, beneficial to others, the occupants of the earth. It's given to you, brethren, by God in His grace and mercy. It's life, it's saltiness, it's a gift. You, the words of Jesus, brethren, plain, specific, you are the salt of the earth. If you're not, brethren, who is? If you're not, how are bland things going to be palatable? How bad things going to be made better? How's it going to happen if it's not you, brethren? It's you. You are the salt of the earth. I was studying, thinking about this, and I thought about table salt, and I thought about Epsom salt. Epsom salt. I bet you most households here have a box of Epsom salt somewhere in their pantry or their medicine cabinet. I know very little about Epsom salt. I said, well, I wonder where it comes from. How did he get that name? I looked it up. As Brother Kevin said this morning in Bible study, he Googles a lot of things. I look them up. I Googled Epsom salt. And I've heard of it all my life. I've used it. Mama used it. A lot of people recommend it. It's known for its soothing properties. Soothing properties, brethren. You are the salt of the earth. It's named for a place in England. It's found in natural springs there in the country of England. The scientific name is magnesium sulfate. Magnesium, as I read about it, brethren, thoughts kept jumping out at me. For one thing, it's salt. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. And I knew Epsom salts are good for you and they have good properties and pleasant and soothing properties. So I looked it up and found over in England, probably found in this country in Springs, but I guess it initially came from there, from a town called Epsom in England. And it's magnesium sulfate. And I read this, brethren, magnesium is a mineral many people don't get enough of. How about that? Spiritualize that thought, brethren. A lot of people don't get enough of the salt that they need, of that mineral that's in Epsom salts. There's a need, brethren, out there. There's a need for you and me to be salty, to be the salt of the earth. There's a need for it. A lot of the people that don't get enough of that mineral, it says, are athletes. Athletes, you know, they train and they train hard. They run, they work out, they work their bodies. And as a result, they have a shortage, sometimes not enough magnesium. How about this world in which we live, brethren? We're fighting the good fight, aren't we? It's a struggle, brethren, to fight that good fight. Every day, it's a struggle. You get low sometimes on the salt that you need, and you need it. You need some salts. You need some soothing. You need some Epsom salts. They compete. They compete. Athletes do. They compete in their world. And we compete, brethren. We compete. You're competing with Satan every day. You got to compete with him. But you need the strength, brethren, that comes from Christ, or you're going to lose. But that fight, we get weary in well-doing. The Bible says, don't get weary in it. Just soak in some Epsom salt. You need to be salted, and you need to be salty. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Salts are needed to soothe and restore. Salt has a restorative property. Salt is good. How, brethren, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if you've lost your savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Wherewith shall the people around you, the earth, be salted? How can you be salty again? But if it's good for nothing, Jesus says, if you've lost your saltiness, throw it out and just throw it in the street. I heard many years ago a preacher talking about salt. When it was lost its savor, they'd throw it in the street. Just people had a practice of throwing it out in the street, in the wagons and horses, and people would walk on it. It's no good, no good. How can, brethren, how can you salt the earth? How can you be the salt of the earth? Does the earth need salting? Look around you. Listen a little bit. Listen a little bit, and you'll see that it does. There's a desperate need for soothing, for restorative, something to restore, to make it more palatable, to make bland things better and bad things good. Here's a quote. Mankind, lying in ignorance and wickedness, were a vast heap of unsavory stuff ready to putrefy, rot, decay. Salt also has a preservative power in it, brethren. You know that, don't you? Preservative power. Salt preserves, brethren. You are the salt of the earth. But Christ sent forth his disciples, and by their lives and doctrines, he sent them to season it with knowledge and with grace. That's your job, brethren. That's my job as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to season those around us. You're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We season the earth. We preserve the earth, its occupants, by our doctrine, by Christ's doctrine, by our words and our deeds. Jesus, brethren, if you get anything, get these seven words of Jesus to his disciples and you and me. Ye are the salt of the earth. I told you a week or two ago about me being on the phone with a guy that was shouldn't have been calling, and he talked ugly to me, and I talked ugly right back to him. What a shame. What a shame. My speech was Colossians 4:6. Here's something about your speech and mine, brethren. I failed. Colossians 4:6. Would you write that in the margin of your Bible? Turn there. Circle this. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians 4, verse 6. Listen to this, brethren. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with what? Salt. Amen. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When I answered that man on the phone, brethren, my speech was not at all seasoned with salt. Shame on me for doing that. The Word of God says, let your speech, your words, be always with grace. Every word that proceeds out of your mouth and my mouth is to be graceful, is to be seasoned with salt. So you'll know how to answer every man. Think before you speak. I thought for just an instant, and my thought was, I'm on top him. What he says to me, I'll just outdo him. I'll say it louder and meaner. What a sad thing for me to do. Because, brethren, I am the salt of the earth. And I had a bad savor that day talking to that man. I lost my savor there. But God doesn't cast me off always. If I live in ungodliness, He may cast me off in this time world, but he won't eternally. But he blessed me to repent and see the error of my way. And I have the grace to at least tell you about it. And in telling you about it, how I acted ugly, helps me to not do it the next time, to be better. Maybe I'll think better next time before I speak. Your words, brethren, your words, your deeds need to be seasoned with salt. We live in a bland and an unpalatable world. We live in a bad, messed up, fallen world. But brethren, you're to be salt in this unsavory world. Jesus says it very plain. You're the salt of the earth. Be salty. Be salty. I'm going to close with one of my favorite verses. I've tried to preach on it here before. It's in Proverbs. And in the context, I think it's talking about money. But I want to put it in the context of salt. Jesus says, like Jesus says, we're the salt of the world. It's Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:24. One of my favorite verses. It says this. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now that's talking, brethren, about finances. It's talking about giving. It's talking about you and me being generous with what God's given us in the way of money. I think that's the primary context. But I want you to think about it in the context of what Jesus says you have in your person, a characteristic. You have salt, brethren. You're the salt of the earth. There are those that scatter salt around. They just spread it wherever they go, but they never run out. In fact, not only does it not run out, it increases. If you'll be salty, brethren, if you'll make more palatable those around you, bad situations, if you'll encourage them, if you'll say the right word. I forgot to look this up, but that verse in Proverbs that says, a word fitly spoken, I think I can quote it, is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's a word play. But it's saying, brethren, the right word, the salty word, the seasoned word, the word seasoned with grace, is like a beautiful picture. Apples, golden apples in a setting of silver, framed up there on the wall. Something to admire. Something of beauty. There is that scattereth. There are those who, by their words and actions, they scatter salt wherever they go. They make bad situations more palatable. They make the world more palatable. They make it better instead of worse. They don't try to top the one that's ugly to them. They don't try to get back at them. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. You got salt? You got salt, brethren? Did Jesus give you salt? You save it up, you hoard it up, you don't give it, it tends to poverty. It loses its effectiveness. You lose your effectiveness. In this, you know, I go, brethren, from trying to read everything I can see on the news in this country to reading nothing. I go from one extreme to the other. And when I'm out there trying to read everything and assess it and top the comment of some ugly person on the internet or Facebook, I don't, but I think it in my mind. I have the grace not to get into it with somebody. Thank God for that. It's just His grace. But I go from not being salty to just saying things I ought not to say. But I want to say to you, brethren, we live in a world that needs a lot of salt. We have it in ourselves. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You have it in you, brethren, and I have it in me to say the right thing, to let our speech be seasoned with salt. You have that grace in you. It's a grace. It comes from God. You have it in you. And I hope that you and I will use it. Jesus, to me, It's as simple and direct as anybody could say it. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your savor. Salt is good. Don't lose it." I lost mine that day. I talked ugly to that man on the phone. And that's not by any means the only time. Well, that's one of the most recent. Don't do that, Jesus says. Be salty. Don't be unpleasant. There are people out there, there are situations out there that need salt. And you're it. So use it. Scatter it. Scatter salt wherever you go. Oh Lord God, thank you for blessing us to have the grace of God in us. Thank you for implanting that in us through the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for the fact that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, He taught it in life, and the Holy Spirit now teaches us through His words. We are the salt of the earth. Bless us, O Lord God, to know that and to scatter it wherever we go, so that men will see our good works, they'll hear our words, and they'll glorify you, the Father, in heaven. Bless us to do that. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail. Bless us to pray that failure will not be an option, that our speech will be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that we'll say the right word at the right time, that we'll have the right words to say, and that we'll say them. Bless us, Lord, to do that. Thank you that Jesus has made us the salt of the earth. May we not lose that savor. May we exercise it. May we scatter it so that it will tend to increase more and more in our lives, so that the world will be better and that you will be honored and glorified by our actions and all that we do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May we understand it. May we apply it. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Forgive us, please, of our sins and have mercy. In the name of Jesus, the one who sat and taught this to his disciples of long ago and who now today by the Holy Spirit teaches it to us. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you know Jesus has saved you and loves you, and you want to serve Him here with the people of this body, come forward. Come forward, make your request known, and you'll be received in the way the gospel authorizes. Brother Andy.